Scripture reading this morning is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 15, if you'd like to turn there with me in your Bibles. 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 15, "But you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. And indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus."
Well, we have our 10th sermon from 2 Timothy, and we have entitled this one, "Salvation Through Faith, Which is in Christ Jesus." This morning we gather as those who have come between two cherished holidays. Though our national celebration of Black Friday has come and gone, yet Cyber Monday is less than a day away. With this time of the year being so commercialized, there is much talk of gift buying. I think for every time we are asked what we want for Christmas, there are multiple more commercials telling us what we want for Christmas. It is important to give thought to our gift giving. Will we give frivolously or deliberately? Will we give what is wanted or what is needed? Will we give gifts that will be broken and forgotten or that are meaningful and lasting? In observing this morning's text, it stood out to me how Timothy was especially blessed of God, in that Paul was a spiritual father to him, and his mother and grandmother were spiritual mothers. Of all the true and lasting gifts Paul, Eunice, and Lois could give Timothy, they gave him the choicest gift, the most precious and lasting gift, teaching and convincing him of Jesus Christ. Well, we know that we cannot save our children, for God alone saves. Still, God employed Paul, Eunice, and Lois in gifting Timothy with a godly influence. If ever there was a meaningful and lasting gift, it is this: bearing godly influence upon another that they would be convinced of Christ. How many are there who give more thought to what passing Christmas gift they will give another than they do to considering how they might influence them to convince others to trust in Christ? Church, that we would have the enthusiasm of crazed Black Friday shoppers, but our enthusiasm would be for gifting our children and others with a godly influence. Beloved, Jesus is the choice and enduring gift of God. As Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And John 3:16, that loved verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Oh, that the church would be filled with spiritual fathers and mothers, that is, disciple makers as Timothy had. Whether by birth like Eunice and Lois or by adoption like the Apostle Paul, may we gift our children with a godly influence that they may be convinced of Christ and believing in him, be an avid follower of Christ, knowing where their eternal destiny is. It is my prayer that through the study of this text, we will consider our lives and what things we can give that are truly important and lasting. By faith in Christ, let us this morning determine to be spiritual fathers and mothers and families to those around us, as was Lois, Eunice, and Paul to Timothy. And then I do want to say something to you who would be spiritually parented. We all need spiritual parents, don't we? To you who would be spiritual parented, may you learn as Timothy how to live for Christ, how to follow in the footsteps of those who follow Christ, how to stand as a faithful Christian in the day of adversity, living in the saving power of Jesus Christ. Well, as we open to the text this morning, we find that the Apostle Paul had just warned Timothy of the difficult times that lay ahead. Paul explained how men would digress and negatively affect the church, As men love themselves, they will violently oppose the truth of Christ, infiltrating the church, seeking to draw the people of God away to themselves. Being lovers of money and arrogant, unholy, brutal, treacherous, haters of good, loving pleasure rather than loving God, they seek to exploit the weak and the vulnerable in the church. Though they hold to a form of godliness, they deny the saving, transforming power of Christ. Paul warned Timothy of such as these, saying this in chapter 3, verse 5, avoid such men as these. Avoid such men as these. Don't associate yourself with such men, for bad company corrupts good morals. Set yourself apart. Don't be unholy, but be holy even as God is holy. Stand in Christ. Set yourself apart. It is this exhortation to avoid such men as these that Paul presses in our text today, reminding Timothy of his faith in Christ. Rather than denying the faith, as do the false teachers, Timothy must embrace and stand steadfast in the faith handed him by his spiritual mentors. Introduction, if you have the handout there. Having warned Timothy of the difficulties soon to come, Paul now encourages him to avoid false teachers and their false ways by embracing his faith in Christ, as learned from Paul, his spiritual father, and Eunice and Lois, his spiritual mothers. Beloved, God is calling us this morning to be faithful to him, and in being faithful, to pass our faith on so that our children and those around us will live for Christ. Amen. Verses 10 and 11, but you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and perseverance, persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. The adversative of this verse, but you, places Timothy in contrast with the false teachers. While false teachers hold to a form of godliness but deny the saving power of Christ, Paul states that that is not the case with Timothy. Timothy stands apart from the false teachers. Rather than opposing the truth, Timothy followed the apostles' teachings. Timothy followed Paul as Paul followed Christ. Roman number 1, the apostle Paul was a spiritual father to Timothy. He was a spiritual father to Timothy. As Paul adopted Timothy as his own spiritual son, he taught him the doctrines of Christ. By the way, the word teach, you follow my teachings, that refers to doctrines. You followed my doctrines. As a spiritual father, Paul was not silent about Christ, but he constantly imparted the truth of Christ to Timothy. Surely Romans 10:14 applies here. How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? I think too often we Christians are silent about Christ. We want our children to live for God, but we don't want to talk about God, and we don't want to live God. Paul was not silent, and we cannot be silent. Every spiritual father must be a preacher who teaches Christ to their children. This is what Paul did, and it is what we must do, so it takes root in them by the grace of God. Letter A, as a spiritual father, Paul taught the doctrines of Christ to Timothy. Now, of verses 10 and 11, as the original has the emphasis, it is appropriate to understand this verse as saying, but you followed my teaching, my conduct, my purpose, my faith, my love, etc., etc. There's an emphasis that this is what Paul had demonstrated to Timothy. That's why Paul could say, follow me as I follow Christ. Timothy was influenced by Paul as he observed his conduct, Paul's conduct, that is, Paul's daily way of life. Timothy saw how Paul lived. Paul openly lived his life before Timothy as a disciple maker ought. Church, what of our conduct? Does it testify of God's saving power? Do we live like people who have been touched by Christ? Does our manner of life convince others that Jesus truly saves? Does our conduct invite our children and others to trust in Christ? Paul's conduct was convincing to Timothy. showing Timothy that Jesus is worthy of following. And in this, Paul's purpose was evident as he was driven to accomplish the work of God, preaching and living the gospel. Though often opposed, Paul purposed to fulfill Christ's calling in his life, and he would let nothing deter him. Timothy saw in Paul a drive to do the will of God. He witnessed it, and he felt it, and he experienced it personally as Paul taught him of Christ. Paul's purpose was not self-achievement or worldly gain, but worshipful service to the Christ who saved him. This was convincing to Timothy. Further, Paul had a strong faith, and his faith in Christ motivated him to faithfulness to Christ. Timothy bore witness as Paul remained faithful to Christ even during persecution. When Paul was run out of town, he was faithful to Christ, and Timothy knew this. When Paul was threatened, he did not back off. He was faithful to Christ. When Paul was imprisoned and stoned and left for dead, and even at this time of writing, awaiting the death sentence, he was faithful to Christ. Rather than merely calling Timothy to be willing to suffer for Christ's name, then Paul could genuinely call Timothy to suffer for Christ with him, being faithful unto death. This taught Timothy of the worthiness of Christ, that Christ is worthy of being believed and trusted and followed. Timothy also saw how in all this Paul was patient, calmly bearing up under trial, being steadfast and long-suffering, trusting what God, that God was at work in all these trials, accomplishing his higher good. And Timothy knew Paul to be a man of great love, agape. He bore witness of the agape of God in Paul, that Paul loved the saved and Paul loved the lost alike. He wanted to see the saved grow in Christ, and he wanted to see the unsaved come to Christ. He saw the compassion of God in the heart of Paul as Paul literally sacrificed himself so others would know Christ. And there was Paul's perseverance. Even in the most difficult of circumstances, such as afflictions, hardship, and distresses, which he talks about in 2 Corinthians 6, still Paul would not give up. He was determined to persevere. By the grace of God, Paul persevered under every manner of threat and difficulty, continuing to preach the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Further, Timothy well knew of the persecutions and sufferings Paul endured in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, which are recorded in Acts 13 and 14, if you care to read that later. Timothy knew what persecutions Paul endured, and having endured, that the Lord delivered him out of them all. What a grand testimony of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's life was a testimony to the power of that salvation that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. And indeed, Christ saves, and he saves to the uttermost. Paul did much more than verbally teach Timothy, although this is vitally important that we verbally teach Christ. But he did much more than verbally teach Timothy, for he backed up his teaching with the example of his life, teaching by word and deed. Paul was not like the false teachers who held to a form of godliness, but he truly was transformed by the gospel, conforming to Christ in life and practice. Paul believed what he preached. So in harmony with Paul's teaching was his life. He was not a hypocrite, but the genuine article. He was not a shell of a Christian, but a true Christian in substance. His conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, and endurance under persecution and suffering were in perfect agreement with his teachings of Jesus Christ. The truth of Christ was not denied by Paul, but it was by the very power of Christ that he lived, and it was evident to Timothy. Letter B, as a spiritual father, Paul lived by the power of the truth of Christ, motivating Timothy to follow him, capital H, to follow Christ, to follow Paul as he followed Christ. How influential is the believer who practices what he preaches? And I'm sorry to say that is a lot rarer than we think. To all who would be a spiritual mentor among us, live what you preach. Let the gospel you proclaim work powerfully in you, conforming you to the image of the Christ who saved you. Let the gospel you proclaim be the gospel you live. Give Jesus, give them Jesus, and give him them Jesus in word and truth. May God gift us with spiritual fathers who will teach and live the truth of Christ, convincing others of the saving power of Jesus Christ. Someone gets saved, and you hear all the scoffers, oh yeah, they got saved. We'll see how it is in a week. Then, well, we'll see how it is in a month. And then after a year of this salvation, and they see that this person has changed, we begin to think, they did get saved. Indeed, Jesus does save. I've talked to people who have said, I knew that guy when he wasn't a Christian. And man, I'm convinced that Jesus saves because look at him now. We don't do that to ourselves. Christ does that by his abiding spirit, amen? And beloved, if we're going to convince others of the saving power of Jesus Christ, then we need to be saved and we need to live as those who are saved. Amen? Is his power at work in you or not? Then, wonderful thing. As Paul, through word and deed, convincingly taught Timothy, thanks be to God, by the grace of God, Timothy followed. Timothy didn't hold to a form of godliness, but convinced of the saving power of Christ, he conformed to the image of Christ, just as Paul taught and lived. By the grace of God, Timothy truly believed what Paul taught concerning Christ, and the proof of it is found in this: Timothy followed. Those who believe in Christ follow Christ. You can't say, I believe in him, but I don't follow him. Amen? Timothy followed. As God granted him faith, Timothy embraced Paul's gospel as his own. He joined Paul in his calling, following after Jesus Christ. The letter C, as Paul taught, Timothy followed, embracing Christ and his calling as his own. Timothy joined with Paul in his teaching. He joined with him in his conduct and his purpose and his faithfulness and patience and love and perseverance, persecutions and sufferings, trusting the Lord to deliver him as the Lord delivered Paul. A word to those among us who are being discipled, whether within the home or within the household of God, whether as a spiritual child by birth or a spiritual child by adoption, take your lead from Timothy and follow the guidance of your spiritual leader. They're sacrificing to bring you God's word. They're sacrificing to teach you. They understand the importance of gifting you with godly influence. Take it in. Follow Jesus. What a privilege it was for Timothy to have Paul as his spiritual father and Eunice and Lois as spiritual mothers. And for you, what a privilege it is for you that God would gift you with someone, anyone, to teach you that Jesus is the Christ. Are you in a Christian home? Do you understand the grace that God has shown to you as you were born in a Christian home? Do you understand that? Any comprehension? The favor God has shown you that you would be born in a Christian home to Christian parents? You didn't deserve it. You weren't even born before you did anything good or bad. God, in his sovereign grace, willed that you would be born to Christian parents. It is a gift of God that you were born in such a place. Children, honor your mother and your father, and it will go well with you. all the days of your life. You weren't born in the Christian home? Well, do you have any comprehension of the sovereign grace shown you? If you have anyone who will disciple you. Do we, church? I'm in the pulpit, so I hope I don't sound like I'm bragging. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm saying I'm included with you. Do we have any idea the blessing we have, the sovereign grace of God that has come to us, that we as a church can gather together and hear the word of God? God has been good to us, amen? It is a gift of God and the sacrificial gift of those who teach you that you would learn of the saving power of Christ, learn and follow, and then become a spiritual parent to some other soul in need of Christ. Perhaps you could say no one spiritually parented you. Okay? So let that motivate you so that no one you know will be able to say the same thing. Many orphan children have become wonderful parents. And so with those who have lacked spiritual guidance, out of your need, meet the needs of others by teaching and living Christ. Well, having reminded Timothy why he should avoid the false teachers, showing that his faith and life are in stark contrast to the Christlessness of false teachers, he now tells Timothy the reality one faces in following Christ. Verse 12, and indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. As a father teaches his children what to expect in life, preparing them, Paul teaches his spiritual son Timothy what to expect as a follower of Jesus Christ. Timothy, when you follow Christ, you can expect to be persecuted. Beloved, persecution shouldn't surprise us. It should surprise us when we're not persecuted. Maybe we need to take a test of our faith at that point. Roman numeral 2, the spiritually faithful will be persecuted. Timothy, as you follow my teachings of Christ and live the Christian life, you will be hated by some. Let it come as no surprise that as you do good in Christ's name, you will suffer for it. As you avoid false teachers, they will persecute you. As you correct their false teachings, the false teachers will seek to harm and silence you. Expect that as you proclaim Christ and Him crucified, that some will want you crucified. They hated Him. They're going to hate those who go out in His name. As I've read several times in this study, Jesus said, John 15, 19, and 20, if you were of the world would love its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And John the Beloved wrote in the first letter, chapter 3, verse 13, do not marvel, brethren. Don't marvel, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. Marvel if they don't, or they will. And why is this? Why will those who desire to live godly be persecuted? Because as Paul taught Timothy, verse 13, evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted because there are evil people in this world. Whoever would follow the teachings of Paul, the teachings of Christ, desiring to live a godly life through faith in Jesus Christ, will be persecuted because in this world there are evil people who oppose Christ and His truth. Have you noticed? They say religion is falling out of popularity. First of all, I didn't know it was popular. Second of all, mostly Christianity. Mention the name of Christ. Talk about Christ. Be a follower of Jesus Christ. Persecution will come. There are evil people in this world. The word evil The word evil refers to that which is malignant in nature. And whatever is malignant is prone to spread, as evil does. That which is evil is never benign, but proceeds from bad to worse. False teachers are imposters who hold up a form of godliness but deny the saving power of Christ. They proceed from bad to worse. As they deceive others, they actually deceive themselves, becoming all the more deceived. They actually begin to believe their own lies. Those are the kind that persecute the believer. Letter A, the spiritually faithful will be persecuted by spiritual frauds. Suffering for Christ is to be expected by those who are identified with him, for those who oppose Christ will oppose those who trust in him. This is a reality of the Christian life, and it is right that those who disciple others teach their disciples this truth, preparing them to stand in the faith. We do the believer a disservice when they teach them that God is like Santa Claus. He'll just give them everything they want. They'll never suffer. There'll never be any pain. There'll never be any sorrow. We do them a disservice. First of all, we lie. And by lying, we do them a disservice. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen? But let me tell you something. As Jesus suffered, those who follow him will suffer. And we must prepare those coming up after us to face that reality. Now, not all will suffer greatly, but some will. We must lay out the bare truth. We must open the Bible and read every word of it. And we must tell the Christian what troubles they may face, preparing them for it. You know what an army does before it goes to battle? It trains and gets prepared. And they do not send the soldiers into the theater of war until they're ready to supply them and they're prepared to go to war. Family, so to speak, we have a battle to fight. We're marching in a war. As the old song says, onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus, amen? And so if we have a life to live, then we must prepare for it, and it is our job to prepare those coming up after us for this. This is why in the nursery, we teach the children of Christ, even in the nursery, and why we have children's classes teaching them of Christ. But let me tell you something, the church cannot do what can be done in the home. That's where the first preparation takes place. In fact, the church is a support to the home, not the home to the church. In light of this negative reality that those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, in light of that negative reality, Paul again encourages Timothy, and he writes verses 14 and 15, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." You, however, Timothy, you, however, despite the fact that those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, despite the fact that they will be persecuted by evil men, you, however, Timothy, don't pull back in fear, don't shrink away, don't withdraw in shame, but continue in the faith that you were established in from childhood. You've been living it out under my teaching. You were established in it at childhood. Continue on in that faith. Paul is saying, Timothy, avoiding the influence of the false teachers and ignoring the distractions of their persecutions, continue on as you have, following in my teaching and the teaching of your spiritual mothers. Your hand is to the plow. Don't look back. Stand steadfast in your faith, which has been established upon the word of God, even from childhood. Timothy was blessed of God. He had a sure foundation upon which to stand. For in learning the things of Christ, He was also convinced of the truth of Christ. His knowledge of Christ was more than a gathering of facts, but he was convinced of Christ to the point that he would live and suffer for Christ. That faith was implanted in him. How did Timothy, and how can we come to this kind of a true persuasion of Christ? Well, of course, church, it is God alone who grants saving faith. But let us remember again that God employs his people in his service. How can they come to faith if they don't hear? And how will they hear if there's not a preacher? And beloved, don't look at me like I'm the only preacher in this room. I don't know how many are here, but let me take a stab. If there's 50 people in here or 70 people in here, we've got 70 preachers here. And you're preaching everywhere you go. Amen? Amen. I'll amen myself. God alone grants saving faith, but church, let us remember, God employs his people in his service. By grace, God placed people in Timothy's life, people who taught him of Christ through word and life, convincing him of the truth of Christ. Timothy was firmly convinced in his faith. He believed in Christ because those who taught him, he knew them. He saw their life. I'm telling you, discipleship is so vitally important. So here Paul reminds Tim that Roman numeral 3, his natural mother Eunice and grandmother Lois were a God-granted spiritual family to Timothy. Paul spoke of Lois and Eunice earlier in chapter 1, verse 5. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. Eunice and Lois played this vital role in Timothy's faith by teaching him the Old Testament sacred writings. They didn't have the New Testament written at that point. What a grand thing. What a grand thing. Timothy was blessed with natural mothers who were also supernatural mothers, a spiritual family to him. Eunice and Lois taught him the sacred writings even from childhood. And get this, the term translated childhood, if more literally translated, would be infancy. You've heard me say before, if there's a baby in the oven, preach the word to that baby. Amen? Read the word. Sing praise songs. Listen to praise songs. Turn on the preacher, somebody besides me. They won't listen. Talk to that baby. It's never too early to begin to teach the child the word of God, amen? To teach the child to love God. Letter A, it was from infancy that Tim's mother and grandmother acted as disciple makers, training him in the way he should go. And what does Proverbs say? Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart. They can't escape it. It will be indelibly imprinted upon them. By God's good grace, his spiritual mothers taught him in such a way that he was convinced of the truth of the scripture. As Paul wrote and I read a few moments ago, Lois and Eunice's faith was sincere. Timothy's sincere faith was passed to him as it first dwelt in his grandmother and mother and now in him. God used the sincerity of their faith to influence Timothy, convincing him that salvation comes by faith in Christ, giving him a foundation upon which to stand in the day of persecution. Better be, as spiritual mothers, Eunice and Lois taught Timothy the scripture in word and deed, convincing him of the truth of God and his promise to save. This all by the grace of God, amen. Men don't work aside from God, but God blessed them and God used them. Think of it. It was through the ministry of Timothy's mother and grandmother that God prepared Tim to come into the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And before Timothy could come under the ministry of the Apostle Paul, he had to be convinced that salvation is through faith in Christ Jesus. It was through his family's training in the sacred writings that God granted him the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Christ. knowing God to be the source of salvation, these spiritual mothers pointed their son to the scripture. Faith comes by hearing, and yes, even by the Old Testament word of Christ. Letter C, in encouraging Timothy to avoid false teachers and endure the persecution, Paul reminded Timothy of his sincere faith in Christ and that this faith was convincingly imparted to him by Eunice and Lois, established at an early age. We must believe, teach, and be established in this truth that salvation is by faith, which is in Christ Jesus. We must first believe and be established in it that we may teach it. And church, if we stand in the day of trouble, this is where we stand, upon the truth of Christ. He is the rock of our salvation. We must have faith in Christ. How often does the present-day church encourage people to stand for Christ without giving them so much as the truth of God upon which to stand? They say, stand upon Jesus. Amen. But then they don't tell them anything about Jesus. They tell them to stand upon Jesus without so much as teaching them that salvation is by grace through faith in Christ. Do you understand, church, that you could go to multiple congregations this morning and not hear that salvation is by grace through faith in Christ Jesus? Do you understand the many congregations that I'm not going to call Christian, the many congregations that teach that salvation is by works? How do you stand then in the day of trouble? You don't trust in Christ, you trust your own works, and I tell you, surely we're going to fail. This is the truth that will carry you and all who come after you under through every trial. This is the truth that will carry us all the way to heaven's shore, that one is saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Here is where we stand. Jesus saves. Believe in him. How important it is that we give a heritage to those who follow after us. That's why we named this congregation Heritage, a Christian heritage. That we give a heritage worth following after, that we gift those who are coming up after us with a godly influence, that they might be convinced of Jesus Christ, that they might be convinced that salvation is by grace through faith in Christ. How important it is that we give a heritage to those who come after us, as did Paul and Eunice and Lois for Timothy, that all who follow after us would be convinced of the truth that salvation is by faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Church, we must stand in the gap by convincingly proclaiming and living salvation by faith in Jesus. If our children are going to stand in the day of trouble, avoiding false teachers, enduring persecution, then they must know and be convinced that salvation is by faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So Roman numeral 4, we must gift our children and all who follow with the truth of saving faith, that they would know, be convinced, and established in the truth that salvation is by faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, that God would use us by his mercy and grace to convince others of this truth, that we would be as spiritual fathers and mothers, a spiritual family. Use us, oh God, I pray. Use us. Use us to convincingly establish the truth of your saving grace in the hearts and the minds of those who come after us, Lord, that in the day of the trouble they will stand upon your saving truth, that salvation is by faith in Christ, and Lord, that that truth will carry them all the way to the day when they see you face to face. Can a generation of believers pass their faith to the next generation? Yes, if God grants it. So we ought to be passing it. Can we pass our faith to others? Yes, if God grants it, yes. And so, church, let us pray and work to this end. Let us, by faith, trusting God, believe that he will grant it, whether by birth or adoption. Let us be as spiritual fathers and mothers, a spiritual family that preaches and lives the gospel so as to convince and establish others in this truth. Salvation is by faith in Christ. And it is never too early to begin. Beloved, there is no greater, more meaningful and lasting gift that we could share with another than this: our godly influence, sharing the word of God, the truth of Christ with others, and living what we preach, that God through us would convince them of the truth of Christ. For it is by his truth that we are saved. It is by his truth that we will stand. It is by his truth that we will endure. Our closing words: salvation is by faith in Christ Jesus. Let us be established in this truth. And being established, let us live our lives as spiritual parents, teaching and living to convince others of the saving power of Christ. By the truth of Christ, we will be saved. Upon this truth, we will stand. Salvation is by faith in Christ Jesus, for Jesus is the gift of God for all who believe. Blessed be the name of the Lord, and all the church said, amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks today for who you are. You are the perfect, loving Heavenly Father. You love us and you hold us. You chastise us for our good. Lord, it is the confession of our mouth and heart that you do all things right. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God. You are holy, holy, holy. Lord, as our brother Rick prayed a few moments ago, we confess that we are people who struggle with sin. Sin lives in us. And Lord, so often we do the things we don't want to do and don't do the things we know we ought to do. So first, Lord, we come before you pleading your mercy that by the blood of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross, you would continue to forgive us of all of our sins. Washing us, Lord, forgiving us of sins past and present and future. Lord, we plead your mercy, for we have no case before you, but we cling to the cross of Christ, and there is forgiveness, healing. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we at Heritage Christian Fellowship and, in fact, all true believers would be established in your truth. And being established, Lord, knowing your word, may we teach and live according to your word, that the saving power of Christ would be expressed through us, that when people see us and they see how we live, they would be convinced that we have conviction, that we believe in Jesus and that he saved us. Lord, we pray that others who witness our lives would be convinced indeed that Jesus saves. And Lord, for us all, as we understand that difficult times come and have come, may we avoid false teachers and their false teachings, and may we stand enduring their persecution. Lord, standing upon this, the truth that salvation is by faith in Christ Jesus. And Lord, knowing that you have saved us, may we be found standing and standing faithfully, enduring unto the end. I pray, Lord, that you would work these things in us. Lord, as there are a multitude of people before me today, and we speak the word, Lord, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, impress upon each one how they ought to put this to practice. And Lord, that we would be encouraged, Lord, to be parented by others and to be parents to others, leading them, convincing them that Jesus is the Christ. And we give you the praise and the honor and the glory this day. And all the people said, Amen.